Today's show is sponsored by The Athletic, a subscription-based sports news site for real fans. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to keep it real with you. I've been a subscriber to The Athletic long before the show even started. And I'm really excited that they've reached out and we're going to have a partnership because I think they're one of the best sports media outlets, if not the best, out there. It's unbelievable. I mean, the in-depth coverage from local writers on every team. They have national writers that you already know, like Jay Glazer, Mike Sando, Michael Lombardi, Bruce Feldman. I mean, some phenomenal ones. And I'm going to tell you this. If you want to read probably my favorite article I've ever read, you need to go to The Athletic, subscribe, and read Inside the QB Room with Mike Leach. It's phenomenal. And all their content is. It's absolutely ridiculous. So, and the best thing is, because it's a subscription-based service, you have no ads, no pop-ups, no clickbait. You pay a subscription to basically get the best sports writing there is. And it tells the story behind the story. You get exclusive player profiles, deep dives on analytics, team power rankings, fantasy sports insights. You won't find it anywhere else. Each subscriber gets a personalized feed of stories, live writer Q&As, podcasts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All you have to do is download The Athletic app, pick your favorite team, and they'll begin surfacing all the latest on the players and storylines that you want. And if you're ready to get started, get 40% off right now to all of our listeners on a yearly subscription to theathletic.com/menace. That's theathletic.com/menace. Check it out. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. It is Thursday, January 23rd. Really excited about this episode, and we're going to get into kind of more about him. But we have Curtis Grant live on the show here in a minute. Really excited to get Kurt on. As I've mentioned, I think a couple times, he's one of the best leaders I've ever been around. And in 15 years of coaching, Curtis Grant was probably 1A when it came to a leader, how to lead a guy that led the team, drove the team, and he's phenomenal. And so we're going to have some great conversation with him about his career, his playing career, recruiting, also in his NFL career, and then life after football, because he's started his own company. And he's back on the grind, man, back on the hustle. That NFL money is short-lived for most players. So now he's getting after it, and really excited for that conversation. Also, real quick, want to mention, I was going to do it end of this week. I'm going to do it beginning of next week, the Patreon giveaway. If you're a Patreon subscriber right now, or if you want to be a part of this giveaway, we try to do a giveaway every couple months, every 3 months maybe, just to show support, give people something cool. The last thing I think we did was I gave away tickets to the Urban Meyer's Pint House VIP party. They were like $200 some dollar tickets, and we gave them away to two lucky Patreon subscribers. So we're going to do another giveaway, and this time we're going to give away some swag, some stuff, some Menace to Society or Menace to Sports shirts, hats, maybe some Tom Herman shirts, Zone 6 stickers. We have probably 10 pairs of OSU receiver gloves with the team issued. So they're just sitting here in studio. So as opposed to have them as decoration, might as well give them to you. So if you're interested in that, sign up for Patreon. We're constantly doing stuff like that, and we're going to do more of it as the new year is upon us, 2020. Also, huge, huge, huge exciting news. We're going to have another huge tailgate. It's going to be bigger and better than the first. We're going to improve on the improvements that we want to make. And conveniently, it's going to be for the spring game, April 11th. Conveniently, that is also going to be our 100th episode. So our 100th episode will be live from the Menace to Sports tailgate before the spring game in Columbus, Ohio. Tickets will go on sale probably, I don't know, in the next month or so. We're going to have food, drinks, football, and some Menace to Sports with a lineup that I'm working on now, special guest hosts, just people that are going to come help us celebrate 100 episodes and the growth this platform has experienced. So stay tuned, man. It's going to be awesome. Down at the Point on Lane, right next to, what's it called, Varsity Club. We're going to really blow that place up. It's going to be awesome. So if you're interested in that, or if you have any ideas for the tailgate and 100th episode live show, please reach out, Zach@menacetosports.com. But enough is enough. Let's get to Curtis Grant, and let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
It's definitely how it was. It took a big
Welcome to Menace to Sports, episode 77 on this fine, cold Thursday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. Really excited to have Curtis Grant on, and I've mentioned it before, and I'm gonna keep reiterating it, because what you're gonna listen to here is I mean, a grown ass man. There's no other way to put it. This is a guy that has no issue seeing reality of situations, the reality of who he is, his strengths, his weaknesses, and he's one of the finest leaders I've been around in football, and it's gonna transcend just football, because it's who he is as a person, and he's having a heck of a time starting a business and, you know, going through typical successes and struggles that new businesses go through. And really excited for him to talk about it. But to get you juiced up, because I got to get you juiced up first, right? I can't just pop him on the phone and let's start talking. I got to get you juiced up. I want to play a little audio from a video that I actually shared the video to Patreon subscribers a while back, but I want to play a little bit of the audio. It's a Curtis Grant leadership brotherhood video to get you juiced up and kind of give you a little perspective into who he was into the 2014 Ohio State team, who he is as a person, and what type of leader he was. It's all about the passion in his voice. Listen to the words that he says and the passion in his voice. So a quick little juice audio before we get to Curtis Grant coming at you right now.
Like I told y'all before, I did not feel the fucking energy when we went outside to warm up. The fucking stadium's dead as fuck, and we gotta create our own fucking energy. Now we're out there playing like pussies. They are not better than us. We gonna turn up this second half, and I'm gonna punch that fucking ticket, because this is my last fucking year. I'll die on that field of fucking day, man. I ain't got but one more time. Hey, serious, we ain't got but one more fucking time. What you gonna be made of?
You know the stories about a man who transformed himself into a legend. Listen closely. Listen to the words. To the man. To the conviction in his voice.
Let's go, man. I need y'all tonight, man. Let's go. We gotta win something, man. Do or die tonight, man. Do or die. They want to get to the road, they're in the way. It's another big stage in our life that we got to tackle, man. I love this shit, man, and I love y'all, man. I need every one of y'all tonight, man. Let's go, man. Let's go. The way some of y'all motherfuckers play, I'll go all day if I got seven. I'll go all day if I got seven. I need 11, though. I need 11. I need 22 motherfuckers that's going to go. Offense and defense that's going to go. This is from the inside, man. If you're scared, stay inside. I'm not losing to them motherfuckers. We don't beat their ass like we're supposed to, man.
Now, have the courage to weigh your own standards of belief and find them wanting. Because the message is simple. You can't teach heart. It's built from within.
Hey, y'all listen up, man. Y'all put your foot on their throat and coach, y'all keep dialing that shit up. This is gonna be an embarrassment. Everybody talking about we some underdogs. We ain't no fucking underdogs. We them champs. Yep. Y'all believe we trained for that shit. Yep. We gonna rock all fucking day. Yep. And when that confetti come down, y'all come holler at me. I'ma have a ball. Let's go, man. Yeah. We here for a reason. Why y'all think we went through all that stuff this week, man? God don't put you in positions for that for no reason. We here for a reason, man. You look to your teammate to your left and to your right. When you feel it down, look to him. I'ma go all night. Y'all go with me. I'ma go all night.
Wow. I'm telling you what, when he's standing in the Big Ten championship locker room in 2014, before we played Wisconsin, this man stood up, gave the most passionate, he did it every game, the most passionate speech, and he said, they're talking about we're some underdogs. We ain't no fucking underdogs. We the motherfucking champs. I got chills. My eyes watered up. You want to talk about who drove the ship? Curtis Grant drove the ship in 2014, along with a lot of other great players and leaders. But man, he is El Capitan, the leader of the 2014 National Championship Ohio State Buckeyes, is on air right now. Let's get him, Curtis. All right, we are back in Menace to Sports. We have a special guest with us, someone I have a lot of admiration and respect for, both as a player and as a man. captain and really heart and soul of the 2014 national champion Ohio State Buckeyes, Curtis Grant, is with us. How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing good, Coach Smith. How you doing?
Man, I'm living, you know, just trying to make it happen every day like you.
Hey, that's all we can do.
Hey, that's
as long as you can get up. As long as you can get up, hey, that's another day to fight, right?
Hey, that's it. It's another day to get after it. I want to start off. I really want to talk about a number of things. I think the first thing is I just want to talk about your journey, man, because I had the privilege of really witnessing it and watching it all happen, but going from the number one linebacker in the country, coming to Ohio State, kind of not seeing the success that you thought that you would see, and then ending it the way that you always intended to end it. So talk to me about your journey just coming out of high school and your early time at Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. Coming out of high school, like you said, I was the number one player in my position. And going to Ohio State big school, I wasn't a big fish in a little pond anymore. I was a big fish in a bigger pond. And didn't really realize the adversity that I was gonna hit, man, to be honest with you, just because it's due to the fact that when you've graded something all your life and then you hit some adversity and you don't know how to handle it, you kind of tend to go into survival mode instead of being a little bit more adaptive to the situation.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think my career, I was pretty much in survival mode, man, because I couldn't take the aggressive coaching. I just didn't understand it. You know, my upbringing, when people got aggressive with you and yelling at you, you wanted to fight me.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so you want to, you know, I took that as a disrespect thing because I wasn't brought up the way, you know, my parents didn't yell at me because, you know, it caused me to shut down. It was more so in going to defense mode. So more so for me, the aggressive coaching kind of set me back because I wasn't receptive to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a while, being there a few years, I started to become receptive to it, and I had to understand that, like, what the coaches were preparing me for wasn't just football. It was after life. You know what I'm saying? So if I could have, I wish I would have been a little bit more receptive to it at an earlier stage, and I think my career would have been a little bit different. But at the same time, it is what it is, and everybody's journey is totally different. But throughout my career, you know, I got to meet a lot of great people, coaches and players, and got to mentor a lot of players and be a part of a lot of great championship games and, you know, network and just grow to become a man. You know, I can tell you that aggressive coaching did turn me into a man at an early age. And, you know, I'm appreciative of that. So because just due to the fact that, you know, we out here like you're running your own business now, Coach Smith, and I'm running my own business, and you get told no a lot.
A lot.
When you used to hearing yes all the time, and you get told no, like I say, I call that adversity. But the way I look at that is like, okay, you're telling me no, so all you're doing is motivating me.
Yeah,
to keep adding value to myself. So every day I'm reading. You know, watching YouTube videos, I'm trying to better myself. So when I do add value to myself, I'm not chasing my dreams. My dreams are chasing me because I'm already ready.
That's it. Well, I tell you this. I've always found just in my 15 years in college football, and I think really in all walks of life, that the greatest leaders that in any organization and specifically in any college football team are guys that kind of were in the shit with everyone and overcame adversity and kind of rose to the top, and they're players that the other players can relate to. And I think you were the epitome of that in 2014, and kind of the role you took on coming from a guy that really like survived all that adversity and fought through it and found yourself really at the tip of the spear of that team. Talk to me about just how that happened and what that means to you to really, I mean, from people that were in the program, they know you drove the ship. Urban Meyer didn't drive the ship. Curtis Grant drove that ship. What is that like?
Well, just to piggyback on, man, I knew coming in, going into my senior year, we had a big-time recruit coming in named Raekwon McMillan. We have been recruiting him for a long time, and I had the opportunity to meet him. And, you know, they wanted me to meet him. show him around, and like any recruit on every visit. So I'm like, okay, but cool. They was like, he's from Georgia, you know. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, we can, you know, bring him up here. I'll talk to him. I don't have no problem with that. And Raquan was different from any other recruit in the country. He was a very mature for his age, and he was very intelligent, and he wasn't a cocky player. Even though he was the number one linebacker coming out, we pretty much had the same accolades. Only difference is he won the buckets and not this.
Right.
I knew that with bringing him in, they wanted him to play over. But I told him throughout his whole recruiting process, I made him a promise. And I'm big on man of the word, because that's how I grew up. I'm on loyalty and man of your word. I tell him, I said, look, bro, whatever paths we cross when we get here, I promise you I'll never flake on you or turn on you, because I promise you that when you got here, I was going to be your big brother. So throughout my senior season, we would battle. He would make me better. I would make him better. He would make me better. I would make him better. I knew the coaches wanted him to play. So that made me want to play even harder.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when it came to a point where, you know, I missed one tackle. I got hurt. And he came in and made two great plays in the game. And then I got hurt. I came back in. And then the next game, I missed one tackle. I got taken out of the game and didn't play into the second half.
Yep.
And now, mind you, I wasn't even supposed to be at Ohio State my senior year. I was supposed to transfer back home to play for another team. So I didn't want nothing to do with Ohio State. I didn't do anything, but I kept thinking. My mom was like, stay for me. My father had just passed my junior year. My mom was like, stay for me. And I was like, man, dang, I did tell Raekwon, like, hey, all right, bro, I got you through thick and thin. So that was my motivation. I didn't want my mom overly stressed. And I didn't want to back out on Raekwon because I knew his family situation. I just didn't want to be another male in his life that told him that they were going to do something and didn't do it. Believe it or not, you know, us as human beings that go off of loyalty, you know, that affects us. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It, to the fact, because it's a mental thing. It's like, dang, every time I think I got somebody for me, now I'm like, dang, every time I got somebody for me, they always end up leaving me and just telling me lies. So I didn't want to be that person in his eyes. You know, I said, I'm going to be your big brother. It is what it is. I picked Eric Horn up every day for practice and pretty much dropped him off at his dorm room every day at practice. And we would talk. He'd be like, bro, why do you act the way that you act? Like, why are you not jealous? Like, why don't you hate me? I said, because, bro, life is bigger than just a football position.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to Eric Horn now 2 or 3 times a week. You know, like, hey, little bro, how you doing? You need anything? Mind you, bro's a millionaire. I'm nowhere near that. But it's just the fact that when I call you my brother, I'm big on that, you know? So that's what led me to act the way I act my senior year. You know, it came a time where Raekwon, his freshman year, he couldn't really grasp the things that threw the playoff situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Competition got a game picked up a little bit faster. It wasn't that he wasn't a bad player at that time. It was just my moment to take over. His moment had happened throughout the season, and I got my moment back to do what I needed to do. And it worked out well. And then, you know, I ended up being a free agent. Same thing that happened to me in college, me losing my spot every year, happened to me in the NFL. So it prepared me. So now when you tell me no out here in regular life, on some basic money, you know what I'm saying? You're going to make a 30 grand a week into like $5,000 or $6,000 a week. It's still great money. You know, you're making just as much as you would on practice squad. Some of us are. That don't bother me no more.
Yeah.
And then I had to find balance, man. That was the biggest thing of, you know, growing up. Throughout these years, I met people, networked with a lot of people. And as I watch a lot of speeches and a lot of motivational speakers, they talk about balance all the time. And if you hear a lot of people, like I like listening to Steve Harvey is one of my people, Eric Thomas, Inky Johnson, I listen to those guys on a daily basis for 3 or 4 hours. And then I go read, you know, and I try to fill my mind with positivity. And if you listen to everything, everybody started at a low point. Even B.T.D. Jakes, you know, I'm not a big church boy, but he's a great speaker, you know. And when you listen to these people, they all talk about the same thing. I lost it all. I had to work and do this. I worked for 20-some hours. I had to do this. I had to do that. And then when you put on your stuff, the biggest thing is I blew my knee out. Okay, cool. You still can walk. I still can put my pants on. I'm still motivated, you know. And my biggest thing is I can't let my son down, you know.
Yeah, that's your why,
so that's my biggest motivation. Yeah, that's my why. I can't let my kids down at all. You know, I got a newborn, and I think about it. I'm like, well, why? How would I look as a man telling my kids to do something that I don't even do?
I'm telling you. You know? Bro, I mean, I can relate. When everything happened, whatever it's been, 18 months, I sat there and I was like, man, I worked 20 years to build a career. I'm a coach at Ohio State. I'm the XYZ, whatever you want to say. And it was like, yeah. All right, so what? What the fuck are you going to do now? Like, that, yeah, right. It's all well and good, but you want your kids to still see you chasing success and building a life for them. Like, you can bitch about a situation or adversity, but at the end of the day, who gives a shit? Just go, you got to start over, do it again.
Right. Yeah. Right. To piggyback off of that is like, you know, sometimes, man, you work so hard to build your brand, man, and you make one mistake, and the people take it and run with it and try to demolish your character when they don't even know you.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's been plenty of times, like, for instance, you know, I'd be like, hey, Coach Smith, you'd be like, what's up, TG? And I'd be like, man, I'm all right. Like, what's wrong, man? I ain't really feeling it.
Yep.
Like, why are you not feeling it? Like, we win it, we, man, it ain't fun, man.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And you be like, man, you got to make it fun. Like, you know, that's even like when you bring passion and energy to the special teams meeting.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it might not have worked for everybody, but all you needed was to catch three people's attention.
Yep.
That's it.
That's
three.
It.
Those three, once you got those three, the rest of them was going to take care of themselves, because them three, my 9 times out of 10, was going to be a leader of the team. And that's all the people you were trying to get anyway, because you were just trying to reach 1 to 3 people to let somebody click, to let them know, hey, Troops, we got a rally, man.
Yep.
And that's all it takes.
Because you know what?
We are here. Yep.
Coaches don't rally the team. Curtis Grant rallies the team. So if you can get Curtis Grant on board, it's a wrap.
Hey. It's not even that, man. I'm just passionate about what I do, man. I've been like that my whole life, man. And I'm learning to say no to people a lot more. And I learned to invest in myself a lot more than I do others. You know, I will put others before me. But you can't take everybody with you. And you have to understand that, like, your mental health, your peace, your balance, and your mind, and the people that you keep around you, you know, it really dictates your life. If you're around negative people, man, that's what you're going to be. So that's why, like, if I ever was to become a coach, I'm going to tell you, don't take no offense to this, but you want to know who the best coach was on that Ohio State staff when we won?
Who's that?
Now, I'm not talking about coaching football. I'm talking about the best overall coach. You know who was?
Who?
I know you know.
Who?
Coach Larry Johnson.
For
coach
sure.
Larry Johnson.
For sure.
And it wasn't just the techniques. He knew how to reach people on a different level, you know?
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And he can motivate anybody. Like, it wasn't about just the culture in football. It was the real life motivation from inside. And that's why, look at him.
Absolutely.
Look at him. He didn't take average players. I'm not saying you're getting coached. Don't take it the wrong way. He's taking a couple players that you'd be like, I don't even know if they're going to be able to play. But they wanted to play. Everybody that pretty much played in the league.
And you know what? Even the ones that didn't, then you can look back at that season and just think about a handful of plays. You're like, holy shit. Like, I can't believe that happened.
I'm telling you.
He
knew how to reach people at a different. And that's the same thing with you. You know how to reach players different. You know how to talk to this player. You know who you could be aggressive with. You know who you couldn't be aggressive with. And that's the thing.
That's the biggest thing in coaching.
Exactly, man. If you do not know your, if you don't know your people skills, I mean, we got other coaches, Kerry Cone, you know, Coach Johnson, you, a couple of it. You knew you guys as players, man, and it showed.
Yeah.
Why you think Evan Spencer played so hard for you, Devin? You know, all those guys, Jalen Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, there's zone six. You know what I mean? Because you can reach your players.
Yep. That's a fact.
So, yeah, man. And it's all about communication too, man. Everything's people don't want to communicate.
Or they don't know how. They don't know how to do it effectively.
They don't know how, man. Yeah. They don't know how to do it effectively.
That's a fact. Well, take me back. So yes, I think you just said a couple things that are profound. I mean, you're talking about somebody that faced adversity, really struggled your entire career for the first half of it, right? And then all of a sudden you're facing all this adversity at home with your father passing away. You had a child, all this stuff, and you're about to be a foot out the door. And in your motivation to come back was the recruit that came in essentially to take your spot. That's uncommon, Kurt. You know that?
Yeah, I know. A lot of people said that. That's the only reason I came back to Ohio State, because I was out the door.
Well, I know it. But then talk to me about that feeling after the Oregon game in the locker room, when it's like you made all those decisions that most people, if not all people, probably would have said, don't do that, Kurt. Like, don't go back there. You did it anyways because you think differently. And then talk to me about the feeling after the Oregon game to realize, like, the shit paid off.
Yeah, man. It's kind of like, you ever see those little pictures on Instagram or Facebook, Twitter? You see that guy that's hammering on that rod in the dirt, and he's close to the diamond.
Yep.
But he quits. Yep. But the other guy, you see him over there sweating?
Yep.
That's what I always go back to, man. And, you know, you got to think about the group of guys I had around me too, man. That kept me. Even though I motivated them a lot, you know, we got, let's go. Even on that team, we had Durant, Grant, you know, my cousin, Chase Ferris, you know, Steve, you know, Braxton, all those guys I hung out with. I mean, think about it. Even our linebacker from Josh Perry, Darren Lee, Craig Feder, Joe Berger, all of us, Devin Bogar, all of us, man, we used to mesh. It's a lot of us in there. Raekwon. And then you go down to Mike Bennett, and then you had a goofy secondary. You know, you got Tyson, Von Bell back there. They're crazy as all get out. And then you get on the offensive side of the ball, you got Jeff Hyman. That was cool. You know, what else we had on the offensive side of the ball? Uncle D.
Yeah.
Jacoby Bourne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got Zeke Wildtail, Devin, and Evan. Come on, man. I'm naming some great players right now.
Right.
You think about all of that, and you got Cordell. I don't even know what you call Dale. We all knew Dale was talented, but Dale's mouth got him in trouble all the time. You know, he was goofy.
Yep,
you know what I'm saying? You just never knew what he was going to do. And that's what made our team our team. We turned my senior class. It wasn't just me. My senior class made it fun, and we were determined to win.
Determined.
I mean, it was just like, okay, what are we doing? All of this mat drills, all this eating right, all this heavy tail lifting, 2 to 3 a day. You know, some days, man, we work out in the morning, work out in the evening, then have another little practice, just the players trying to figure out, hey, look, how are we going to play this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that, man? And once you get down to the, like you said, the national championship, brother, I was tired. Man, it wasn't that I was tired because I was tired of football. It just was like, dang, I can't even enjoy this win because I'm exhausted.
Yeah, what it took to get there and get it done.
Yeah, from spring ball to camp to the whole season, just the mental. The body wasn't tired, you know?
Yeah.
Just the mental. And I'm thankful I've done it. I've done that, man. It's even like now, man. You know, I'm out here starting my new trucking business, and I've had dump trucks and tractor trailers. And, you know, people tell you, oh, you can't do this because you don't have enough of this, or do that, or do that. You don't know what I can do.
Yeah, that's
you
a
just
fact.
Hear me over the phone. You never gave me even the opportunity to think. It's crazy how I get on the phone and I can get somebody just like, hey, how old are you? How long have you been doing this?
Like,
why
that,
do you talk like that?
Like that matters.
Yeah, like that matters. Are you going to give me what I'm asking for, or can I show you what I can do so we can move forward, or you don't want me to have it because you see something in me? But I'm not trying to be against you. I'm trying to work with you. I'm trying to help you build.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So tell me, just real quick, tell me about the trucking business that you started. I know CG Boys Trucking, right?
CGM Boys. CGM Boys Trucking, Inc., right out of Richmond, Virginia. I named the company after my grandfather. His name was Curtis Grant. And my daddy had a. My dad's name was Curtis Raynard Grant. And I'm Curtis. Robert Raynard, right? So all of his name was Curtis. And, you know, my grandpa has this old school truck in the garage. He passed away, actually passed away after my dad in 2014, the summer before the season. They died 8 months apart. And, they died 8 months apart. Number synchronization is crazy.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day. But, I've always looked at it like CGN Boys. And one day I was in the house and the old lady was, we tried to think her name of cover. She said, why you don't name it CGN Boys?
Right.
So I'm like, man, it's crazy. Like, I really could name it that. I mean, my company first started, my aunt passed away on the day my company first started. And so ever since that day, like, my dad's gone, my grandpa's gone. Her name was Cheryl Grant. So all of us have the initials of CG.
Yeah.
So that's four of us that have, you know, so
yeah.
My company mean the world to me, you know, so I refuse to let it fail or go under because of someone else. And so now, you know, I've started off with, I have dump trucks and I have 18 wheelers and now I'm out here enjoying the world and making a living, but also, you know, trying to get into the back office. Driving is cool, but it makes decent money, but we all know the people these days that the ones that's behind the screen that you can't see is making the most.
Yeah.
So but you know what?
It's really cool. It's really cool because it just takes time. And if you do it right yep. and keep at it, it'll be just like your college career. It's just right now, exactly. it's your freshman or sophomore year, man. You're going to hit that senior year soon. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, shoot, we're in the sophomore year of the company. It's some different approaches that I want to take. All together, between me and my business partner, we're brother and companies. We have five trucks together. I have some local runs going. I do most of the over the road stuff. And he does mostly local and he sent a couple of our other trucks, you know, not too far out, like Florida and back and
yeah.
So those guys to get home. You know, a lot of local work. We do flatbed, step deck, and oversized and dry van. So, man, we've been taking our time and really learning and trying to put the right coaches so in the right area.
Yeah.
So we can grow, man. You can't do it out here by yourself, man. I don't care what nobody says. You can be a one man show if you're single and that's all you want to do.
Yeah, for sure.
If you got a family, it's so hard out here now, man. You have to just, if you got a family, you have to do, you really have to have multiple streams of income. If not, man, you'll be working 20 hours a day. And
that's it.
Barely seeing your kids, you know.
Oh, I already know. That's that's a fact.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
So,
well, I mentioned this to you before we came on the show, but I have the new show starting beginning of February. So I want to get you back on to talk about your business, kind of life as it goes with starting being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, starting your own shit. You know what I mean? I really want to get into that
yeah.
so that people can hear yeah. more about that side of it because I think it's so cool. I mean, getting on this side of the yeah. world, it's a hustle. It's hard, but it's fun.
Yeah, for sure. And the hustle, if you feel good about the hustle, just due to the fact you're doing it for yourself, you're not putting money into other people's pockets on a daily basis. Like, I love what I
yeah.
do, man. I get up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and I sit there, you know, on Google, I watch videos, I search for freight, I do this, try to enhance my mind.
That's it.
On different things about the truck and real estate, whatever I can get my hands on, man, because, you know, I don't plan on being in the truck driving for the rest of my life. So, therefore, I got to do other things to, you know, I drive when I want to drive. That's what I'm trying to get it to. So,
yeah, for sure.
We'll get there. It takes time, like you said, and
it'll happen.
We just go keep working.
Well, it's been really cool for me to see just from a distance, social media, and you and I've talked a couple times, kind of DM back and forth, and it's really cool to see because when you're in it, you don't realize it, but it's growing, it's working. It's just you want it to happen now, and it just takes time, right. You know.
Right, like I said, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No.
They took. I mean, I just look at it now, man. You just look at it. Just take a building, for instance. You know, the Woody won't build in the day, that was it.
No doubt.
You had to grade the ground. You had to dig a hole for the bricks. You had to put dirt back in the building.
Yep.
You had to lay that foundation with concrete. You had to build that.
For
that
sure.
That might have took two or three years to do sometimes, man. So Yeah, that's we're out here and we're learning and moving forward. We just have to learn patience and balance, man. It's hard to do, but you have to do things to really, you know, bring that positive vibes to your mind, man. If there's nothing but meditate, like now I'm getting to a point where I don't even like listening to rap music no more for real because it don't do nothing for my mind. I mean, I don't want to be rowdy. Yeah, I don't want to be rowdy 100% of the day. Now, back when I was playing ball, yeah, that was cool because I needed all that aggressive action. But now it's more so, let me relax.
Isn't it wild that, what you listen to just fuels your mind and fuels, you know, how you view things? It's just what you put in your mind, the content you put in your mind.
Yeah. Like, I really believe at this point in my life, I believe I could fly if I tried, you know? Not literally, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just from all the positivity that I listen to, man, like, it's like I won't be broke. I won't be broken, man.
That's,
I mean, you could try. You're going to have one hell of a fight.
You know what's crazy is success comes to resilient people. Like, you get through adversity, you just keep grinding, keep pushing, and you just keep going, and eventually it's going to catch.
Right. And there's one guy that, like, I was listening to before you talk. I was listening, like I said, I'm not a big church goer, but I do like listening to T.D. Jakes, and I listened to him to get the message. And the message was, what's on the other side? What's on the backside? You know, like, yeah, you see me. You see what I'm doing. You see all the glamour and stuff, but you don't know what I do on the backside. You don't know how hard I really put in, how much work I really put in. You don't know me staying up for 23 hours, sleeping for, you know, 30 minutes, and I'm back up. You don't know what I'm going through to get to where I need to get. It's easy to be unsuccessful and broke. That's easy. That ain't hard to do. You can say, I quit tomorrow. But being blessed and having success, or whatever you want to call it, it takes work, man.
Yeah, it takes work.
It's hard work.
You know what's funny? I always used to say that, even to my players. Like, take for instance, like, there's a bunch of kids that saw on TV you on stage hoisting the national championship trophy. People were like, man, I want to be Curtis Grant. And it's like, the question is, do you really? Like, do you really know what that meant? Like, how he got on that stage and hoisted that trophy? Like, you want to be on stage and hoist a trophy, but do you want to go through the process that Curtis Grant went through to get there? That's the question, right?
Right. And I mean, even the college stuff, even as being an adult, man, I'm out here. I'm the second oldest male in my family, and I have nothing but women around me. So you already know who gets the first call if anything goes down.
Oh, that's no doubt. There's no doubt.
You already know who gets the call in the first. But I was put in this position for a reason. So therefore, I don't know what the reason is yet, but you know, when you don't know, sometimes you got to sit still, and sometimes it ain't gonna come straight to you. You're not gonna figure it out right away.
No, you just gotta keep pushing.
Yeah,
for sure.
You gotta keep pushing. You gotta keep pushing. So,
all right, Kurt. Well,
we're gonna get it together.
I appreciate you coming on, man. I love every conversation we have. I gotta do this. I did this when Joshua Perry came in studio. We did this, and I'm gonna do it with every guest now. It's something I'm calling the Menace Minute. So I'm gonna ask you a question, right?
Yeah.
And just rapid fire the answer back to me. Don't think too much about it. I want your kind of knee jerk reaction to it. All right.
All right.
All right. First one is best football player you ever played with.
I'm going with defense. We're going to go with Ryan Shazier.
Ryan Shazier. I love that answer. Absolute dominant. All right, here you go. Here's the next one for you. If not the Ohio State University, where would Curtis Grant have suited up his college career coming out of high school?
I was going to University of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Gators.
The Gators. I know that place. All right, here you go. I think this is my favorite question. At any place you've been, right, if a riot broke out in practice, just a big team fight, who's the last player you played with that you would want to square up with?
The last player I played with that I wanted to square up with?
Yep.
I don't really know. I'm ready to go for it. Hey, you know me, I'm ready to go with anybody. I don't care.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. Look. I was expecting that answer, just so you know.
hey, you're gonna have to kill me. Because you know we played with some big guys. You know, back when I was freshman, we had John Simon.
Yeah.
You know, Big Hank, Nate Williams, the big, you know, office, then you had the big offensive line, Mike Adams and all them guys, Brewster.
Yeah.
So, sure. At that point, hey, it's just a fight. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Hey, you know what's funny? So I can't remember
keep
who.
Keep your helmet on.
Keep your helmet on. Boy, I'm telling you what. Number one lesson to learn, right?
Yes, God. Keep your helmet on. He ain't got nothing to worry about. Everybody invincible with a helmet and a shoulder pad on.
That's a fact. So, you know what's funny? When I can't remember who Joshua Perry said he would not want to square up with, but you know who was the second name that came out of his mouth? Was Luke Fickell. Ooh.
Luke Fick? Oh, you talking about, oh, we talking about coaches too?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, man, yeah, we probably had to, yeah, Coach Fick, man, four-time state wrestling champion?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
That's not fair,
you know,
right?
That's not fair. That's like, you know, that's like me being a black belt all my life.
Right. That's not even a fair question, right?
No, that's not even fair. I was gonna say, if we're going to do that, then if we're going off of, you know, previous career, then yeah, the last person we're picking now. We're a jump coach pick now.
Oh, yeah. You said you'll jump him.
And we'll jump him. If we write about that, you know, we'll jump him. He can do that, you know. But one on one, just trying to wrestle him, nah, he can have that because that's what he's been doing his whole life.
Yeah,
you know?
And he's ridiculous, no doubt. And he ain't going to stop either, you know?
No. He didn't win those four state championships to really, you know, worry about it for nothing.
No doubt.
So you gotta respect it, but you know, can't be scared of it.
No doubt. All right, tell me this.
I'm surprised Josh ain't say praise.
Oh yeah, right. You know what? What's funny is we didn't even talk about that, but he's like 1A and 1B, him and Fick. I'm like, I wouldn't mess with either of them.
Oh man, said I right, look, you know me, I'm good. We're just gonna have to go, man. If you win, we just gonna have to do it every day. It's somebody, so I wear.
Just keep running it back.
Yeah, run it back.
No doubt. All right, last question I got for you. Give me off the top of your head, craziest story or funniest story as a player at Ohio State, as a recruit, a wild recruiting story, anything. Just give me a story that most people don't know.
Oh man, I'll never forget my freshman year. We had a coach named Coach Tay. I forgot Coach Tay's first name. What's Tabor?
Tabor Johnson.
Tabor Johnson. Yeah. I never forget, man. He gave these two funny speeches, man. He would say like these funny, you know, like we'd get ready to play in Miami, and he was just in the locker room trying to get everybody hyped. You know, you got them coaches that you just need to let, you know what I'm saying, let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to let the other coach do it, or you got to let the player do it, because when you do it, it's more entertainment and funny than it is, like...
I know it. I know it all too well.
Oh, and then we can't forget Tall Head Ed with his funny speeches.
I was just going to say, I know what I'm talking about. You talk about a pregame speech killer, boy.
Oh. And you be like, what is Coach talking about? But all right, yeah, Coach, we believe what you believe. All right, so look, when we get in this huddle, dog, listen, we're going to change that whole speech.
Oh.
We're going to drop a couple more cuss words in here. We're going to start throwing a couple more gangster music, a couple more gangster music songs, and we're going to be all right.
Bro, I'm telling you, when Ed Warner used to address the offense, I was like, oh God, thank God JT Barrett's going to talk to him, and then Curtis Grant's going to talk to the team. Thank God.
I mean, look, man, we, you know, you love those guys and coaches, man, but you know,
yeah, it is.
It is what it is.
Hey, strengths and weaknesses, man. Some people are good at it. Some aren't.
Yeah, you're not going to see me trying to run the ball on offense, you know.
Right. Do what you do, man. Just do what you're good at.
Yeah, do what you do. Yeah, do what you're good at, you know.
For sure. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Kurt. I definitely want to get you on the other show to talk more about life, because I think you have a great just perspective on life and how to attack it, and I really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Hopefully we can do this more often, man. You got me liking these shows, man. I might have to be, you know, I might have to be like the guest. You know, I might have to pop in once a week, man, with just some random stuff where we could just talk.
Hey, I'm in. Know? I'm in. I'm yeah. down.
Yes, sir. All right. You have a good one there, Coach.
Hey, you too, Kurt. I appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
All right. Wow. That is a real dude. Grown-ass man right there. And he's a kid. I mean, I guess he's not a kid. He's a grown-ass man. But I don't know much about the logistics industry or the trucking business, but I know he's really
hit the ground running. He's grinding. He's out there. He's got, like he mentioned, a bunch of different trucks. He's driving sometimes. Other people are driving. He's trying to build a business. So anybody that has any connections in that industry or knows anyone that could help him out, certainly reach out to me. I can put you in touch with him. He's a great dude. And I'm going to tell you what, if there's somebody you want on your side in any walk of life, it could be a street fight, a football game, a business, it's Curtis Grant. And I think you just heard that. The wildest part of everything he just said, though, was the reason he came back. I don't know if people realize the impact of that decision. Raekwon McMillan is coming to Ohio State. Curtis Grant promised him he'd have his back. He got him. He'd take care of him. And he is gone, leaving Ohio State, and then just had the realization that he made a commitment to a kid, a high school senior, that he would have his back, and he didn't want to be another male human being in a young kid's life that abandoned him and went back on a commitment, so he returned. I don't know that I've heard anything like that. This is the kid that was supposed to replace him. But he had no beef about it. He knew what it was, but he also made a commitment to a kid. And he honored that because that's his word. So anyways, unbelievable conversation. I talked to Raekwon already. I think I'm going to try to get him on to talk about that whole situation from his perspective, because it's uncommon. It's uncommon in all walks of life. And it's even more uncommon in a world of college football with selfish athletes that are constantly worried about playing time, touches, and all this other nonsense. That kid made a grown-ass man decision because he made a commitment to another person, and he was going to honor that commitment. So thank you for tuning in. Really, I plan on doing more with this show, but that conversation was too good, and this is an ode to brotherhood, ode to leadership. That is the finest leader that I've been around, Curtis Grant. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, hope you were entertained, educated. Hope you learned something. Hope you got to know Curtis a little better. And we're going to try to do that all off season, kind of bring people on to give you a different perspective into them and the world of college football. I mean, these are icons that lived it. So thank you for tuning in. As always, if you didn't enjoy it, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Is that how I'm going to take a big